Now, I'm going to go quickly through some basic things about how we grow in spiritual authority. This is not a complete list, but some of the big ones, the really important things, okay? And this is for all of us. We grow in spiritual authority, number one, if we are really, to the extent that we are secure in the knowledge that we have been adopted as children of God. That we really, thank you very much, Gavin. That we really do belong to the Lord. Do you know, and together with that, let's just go on to this, that we really, truly are forgiven all our sin. Now, I want to make a confession here. We pastors, we know that we're loved by the Lord and the rest of it, and yet, if we blow it and make mistakes, it's so easy for us to get into that place of listening to the enemy's voice, say, who do you think you are to be preaching to the people? If they knew what you'd done yesterday, or those thoughts that you had about your mother-in-law, or this or that or the other. You with me? Because Chris never gets thoughts like these. It's just amazing. He lives at another stratum altogether. It's because he's married to Helen, actually. That's what's made the difference, yeah. But, folks, I just want to tell you the good news again. You believe in Jesus? What he paid for on the cross was every sin you ever have committed and every sin which, sadly, you and I are going to commit before we die. Hello? But if you go on hanging on to him, loving him, believing in him, the outcome of your life is assured. Hello? God doesn't want to hold one thing against you or me. If he disciplines us, which he does do, the Bible teaches that, and that discipline may not be comfortable sometimes, and I know what I'm talking about here, okay? If he disciplines us, please understand he only disciplines those whom he loves. Those whom he stays in love with. Okay? And it's vital that we understand that, do you remember the words that God the Father spoke over his son Jesus at his baptism at the River Jordan? Say Luke chapter 3, verse 21 or thereabouts, a bit later, 24, I think. You are my son, my chosen, precious, beloved son. On whom my favor is fixed for keeps. I'm just giving you another rendering of the Greek, okay? But I'm being true to the Greek. You're my son whom I love. You belong to me, son. I approve of you. You have my favor fixed on your life, and it's not dependent on your performance. It's because I love you. And you see, Jesus has done it for us on the cross, okay? He's paid the price for all our shortcomings and sins and the rest of it, okay? Transgressions and sins. But it's a done deal. And when you put your trust in Jesus, I don't know if you know this, but God the Father spoke precisely the same words over you. You're my daughter, my princess, whom I love to bits. You're my son, my prince. And I've fixed my favor on your lives. I approve of you. And I know you're going to blow it sometimes. I know that you're going to mess, but I've given my son to cover that. I've always known what it's going to take to perfect my creatures. You with me? But you can't improve ever on God's favor on your life, ever, through your performance. And here's the good news. You can't lose it either. Why? Because it's a done deal on the merits of Christ, not your merits at all. I'm just telling you the gospel, by the way. I mean, isn't it dumb not to be a Christian? It's crazy. And so you've got to know that. Now, I'll never forget, I'll just tell you truthfully, I did something in my early teenage years of which I was so ashamed. I couldn't share it with anyone. When I was prepared for confirmation, we were meant to make confession, formal confession to our chaplain and so on before the bishop laid his hot hands on our heads the next day. Okay? And I remember I didn't know the Lord in those days. I only came to know him when I was 21. There was something real going on in me, but I hadn't been even taught how to know the Lord. And I remember saying, God, if you're there, I'll write down all these other sins. That's easy. But that one, I can't talk to anybody. I can't talk to that guy. We're going to have to deal with this between you and me. Now, I remained vulnerable to temptation in that area of my life, and I wasn't healed of the shame until I learned how to get healed of that shame. Okay? But my point is this. I've forgotten my point. Why did I tell you this story? Oh, yeah. Shortly after I was ordained, you know, the Church of England, you're made deacon first, and then you're priesthood or made presbyter, second level of ordination. The third one is to be made a bishop, and I'll never be at risk of that one, praise God. But anyway, the point is this. I was did a curacy in a high church, high Anglican church, okay? I won't go into the story of why the Lord called me there. It ended up a church plant on very different lines in that parish and so on. But anyway, I'm in the midst of presiding at communion, my very first one. My parents are there, and I've got to wear all these pretty clothes because it's a very high church, okay? You ladies would have been impressed, I want to tell you, really impressed. I had prettier dress than you've ever worn. But anyway, and you've got to raise your hands, and I have to sing the communion prayer, the Eucharistic prayer, okay? And I'm just launched into it, and I'm feeling very nervous and self-conscious anyway. And the enemy sends one of his minions, I don't think he bothered to speak to me, but one of his minions to tap me on the shoulder and said, Bruce, this stuff wasn't resolved in my life at that stage, even though it happened years before. If this congregation knew that truth about you, you wouldn't be standing here doing this. And in that instant, I had to make a decision. Am I going to stand on what Jesus did for me on the cross? Or am I going to listen to that voice, the voice of the accuser of the brethren? Now, I think I sagged a bit, but I managed to keep going. But I realized there and then, I've got to get this stuff sorted out. I'd forgotten those memories, but they were brought back to me in the midst of singing this Eucharistic prayer, well, the first part of it anyway, in that service. And you see, the enemy doesn't play fair. When you really are longing to see someone healed of cancer, or really stepping out of the boat to share your faith with other people, he wants to nobble you. And he'll find all sorts of pretexts for doing that. But the question is this. I'm asking you, do you know down here, not just as a truthful proposition, doctrine in your head, but in your heart of hearts, do you know that you belong to Jesus? That he has spoken those words and he's never going to change his mind. You are my precious princess, my son. And I'm never going to change my mind about you. You belong to me, and I've fixed my favor on you to make you my ambassador. Ambassador of a royal nature, of a royal kingdom. Because that's who you are, folks. Is this making sense? Do you know, there's been controversy in times past about the whole Toronto blessing thing. Well, I'm not wanting to vouch for every single thing that ever happened with any movement where the Holy Spirit is moving powerfully. You can get charismatic froth around the edges of it. But nevertheless, at the heart of it, among other amazing things that God has done through that whole thing, and it's still carrying on, really, but at the heart of it, God was coming to people and renewing them in the joy, the exquisite joy of knowing that truth. Because it's not just a solemn. I mean, so many of you are sitting there looking quite solemn and serious. This is fabulous news, people. You know where you're going. You know the outcome of the story already, even though we'll go through many trials and hardships and the rest of it in this life, but we know where we're going. But he wants us to sweep a whole ton of people with us. And the way to do it is to reproduce Jesus' ministry, doing it the way he did it. Okay? Loving people, showing them the reality of God. Okay? So, we need to know that. And I once prayed in a moment to actually ask the Lord to renew us in that authority. Okay? And then, just a couple of other things that are really important. We need to be people. You remember the centurion said to Jesus, or through his friends to Jesus, I too am a man under authority. Jesus has given his church, and he wants order in his church, and we need to be accountable to other people for our ministries. And so, yes, ultimately it's Jesus' authority, but we need in our heart of hearts always to be glad to submit to be accountable to leadership within the life of the church. I'd love to tell you a story here, but there isn't time. Just how much the Lord had to shake me up with my ungodly attitudes towards those who I didn't rate very highly as senior people over me, and how seriously God takes that. And so our attitude towards those that God has put in leadership, whatever leadership structure, there are lots of different expressions of church, and they're all legitimate in their different ways, okay? But do we honestly give honor to those that God has put in pastoral and spiritual leadership over us? Do we bless them, pray for them, but also be willing to be accountable to them and to one another for the ministries? Because if you have that sort of heart, then God can put much more authority upon you, okay, and use you in greater and greater measure. We've got to be hungry ourselves to grow in Jesus' righteousness. How can we be ambassadors of a kingdom of righteousness if we don't want that righteousness ourselves? Now, I'm not going to turn that into law because it's all grace. But nevertheless, we will have the rug pulled out from under our feet if we want to get excited about healing people and doing all those things, but be absolutely careless about making every effort, I'm quoting the Bible now, to be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Do you see this? So we need to be hungry to grow in the Lord's righteousness, but through grace, okay? We need to keep a good conscience. So if the enemy comes to you and taps you on the shoulder while you're ministering to someone and reminds you of something that's an unresolved issue in your life, with a relationship with someone else, or that you know you've sinned and the rest of it, carry on and minister with the Lord's authority. Don't let the enemy rob you of authority at that point, but decide in your heart, Lord, as soon as I have opportunity, I'm going to put things right with that person. Put that situation right. Or I'm going to ask help from another person to pray for me with that issue of sin that I'm wrestling with at the moment in my life, whatever it might be. Do you see? But so don't get nobbled with the ministry that you're doing at the time, but decide in your heart of hearts, I'm going to deal with that issue. I'm not going to just bury it and leave it hanging around in my life. Because if you don't have a clear conscience, as Paul says in his letter to Timothy, we make shipwreck of our faith. It undermines our authority. Okay? We need to prepare ourselves before we minister as well. And then another really thing, if we're going to grow in authority, you know, when Jesus called the 12, he prayed all night and then he appointed the 12. And these were the words, that they might be with him, have intimacy with him, be close to him, be in relationship with him, and therefore have authority to drive out demons, to do the kingdom stuff. So again, if the work of the Lord is more exciting to us than ministering to the Lord of the work, where we're not doing it out of intimacy with the Lord, but we're doing it... You see, God will always honor his word. He'll always honor his word. You know, one of the most chilling things for me is, you know, when at the end times come and there's judgment and the door is shut on some people, they say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name? And Jesus said, depart from me, for I never knew you. It worked. When you did, you remember those people, the seven sons of Sceva in the Acts of the Apostles, where they cast out demons in the name of Jesus, and the demons left, although they got into trouble and they got beat up by the enemy ultimately, okay? But nevertheless, there's power in the name of Jesus. You can have evangelists who are correctly preaching the gospel, but sleeping with prostitutes or watching internet pornography or stuff, etc. But God honors his word. And this is a salutary lesson for all of us in ministry. Just because you've had a great meeting, well, yesterday I had the joy of seeing Jesus heal that man with... That says nothing about me and my standing with Jesus. You with me? It says something that I know who I am in Christ, etc. But you know, it's a dangerous thing to minister if we're forsaking the intimacy. Do you see this? Because ultimately the rug will be pulled out from underneath our feet, where the Lord wants to correct that issue and restore us so that then we minister in a right place with him. And the last thing I want to say, you and I want to grow in spiritual authority, ultimately there's only one way. Use it or lose it. Do it. Do it. Do it. And I'll finish quickly with one story, then we'll minister, okay? When I was first learning these things, in 1986, I went to a conference led by John Wimber. I'd already heard him a few times, and I was getting excited about these things, but it just wasn't working very well, trying to put them into practice. I was seeing a few things happen, get a word of knowledge, etc., but it just wasn't working very well, and particularly the spiritual authority thing was bugging me. Like, I just felt so weak in all of it, you see. Well, John Wimber taught over and over again, if you want to learn, tack on with someone else who's a bit further down the road than you are. Well, the first evening of this conference down in Brighton, I just want to learn. You see, a ministry time comes, and there I see very close to me a gum-chewing, hands-in-pockets-style ministry, denims, open sandals, Californian, okay? And he's ministering to people, but within 5 minutes, I realize this guy is operating at a level of spiritual authority and accuracy. Like, I've never, apart from seeing John Will, I've never seen anything up front like this guy. So I went and hovered at a fairly respectful distance, but I sort of tagged on watching what he was doing. He noticed me and said, look, come and help me, you see. Don't be so British. Yeah. I'm not British, I'm South African, but don't be so British. So anyway, he took me along with him, and then he'd tell me what was going on inside him. He said, you see that guy sitting over there? Holy Spirit's resting on him. He doesn't realize it. And the Lord's just given me a word of knowledge that this is the issue in his life that he wants to help him with. Come. Goes to the guy. The guy's sitting there, and through gum chewing, he tells him these things, you see. And said, you know, could it be, and he was very gracious. He didn't do this in any nasty, accusing way at all. But, you know, could it be that you're struggling with this or that at the moment? No, he didn't say, could it be? He just said, I believe this is what the Lord has shown me. And the guy's sitting there absolutely amazed. And then he said, can we minister to you? And yeah, that's fine. The guy stands up. His name was Lorenzo, by the way. Lorenzo puts a good Californian paw on the guy's head. And he goes down again like a sack of potatoes in the power of the Spirit. But anyway, he then ministers to him and just speaks with simple, loving, gracious authority into the guy's life. This, I break this old pattern off your heart and life. This old way of thinking or this whatever. Just authority in Jesus' name. And then the person would be absolutely suffused with the love of the Lord and sit there in a big pool of God's liquid love. And you know, he didn't do that, but he'd just walk on and say, now, you see that guy? Well, after he'd done this for a while, he says, Bruce, you see that guy over there? He's praying for the guy there, but actually the Spirit's resting on him, not the guy that he's praying for. And this is the issue that the Lord wants to help him with. You go minister to him. Now, even at 30 paces, I want to tell you, I was a puppy Anglican curate in those days, okay? Lowest form of animal life in the Church of England. And at 30 paces, I could just tell he was a senior Anglican vicar, even though he wasn't wearing any of the clothes. We just get to smell that way after a while, okay? But anyway, and this guy, Lorenzo, is telling me to bust in on his ministry, interrupt him, tell him that actually he's wasting his time doing this and here's the issue with your life, Buster. And then I thought, well, in for a penny, in for a pound. Lorenzo said, so he's been pretty accurate so far, so I'll take the risk. Feeling very vulnerable, I go up and I hover next to this guy who's busy ministering to this other guy. And after a while, he gives me a busy senior Anglican vicar look. What are you doing, you know, interfering with what's going on? So I thought, well, Lorenzo, I hope you got this one right, Buster. But I just said to him, actually, I think the Holy Spirit's resting on you, not this guy. I said it quite authoritatively, actually. I thought, I'm just going to jump right in. And the God is showing that actually he wants to help you with this issue in your life. The guy looks at me, because it's true. Oh, Lorenzo, thank you. So then we ministered to him, and I tell you, the Holy Spirit just fell in power on him. And it wasn't an accusatory type issue, okay? It wasn't that sort of sensitive, personal in that way. Power on this guy. We ministered. I had stumbled along doing my best because I didn't know very much and I don't know a lot more now. But anyway, ministered to this guy. And then as we're just finishing it, suddenly the power of the Spirit falls on the other guy he had been ministering to. I said, now the Spirit's on him. You just carry on. Well, I go back to Lorenzo. This is the point that I want you to not to forget. I went back to Lorenzo and I waited till he's finished with some poor heap that's dropped under the power of the Spirit. And he turns around and he sees me and he walks up to me. And I said, Lorenzo, how is it that you can see so clearly and particularly minister with such clear authority? And I'll never forget this because he put his hands, one hand on each shoulder. He looked, eyeballed me straight in the eyes. And he said, Bruce, I can see how hungry you are to learn and grow in these things. And that's good. He said, what you've got to understand is that the only difference between you and me is I'm telling you his literal words, have probably done these things at least 200 times more than you have. Now, the truth was, he'd probably done it 2,000 times, if not 20,000 times more than I had. He was understating it. But I'm saying it firmly and seriously to you guys too. If you want to grow in spiritual authority, these other things are very important. Know yourself loved by the Lord, that you're a child, a prince or a princess of the royal household. You've got the right, the exousia to do it. And yes, we need to know the Lord's will. That's very important. Get consecrated in truth about what we can believe about God, etc. We need to learn to use the gifts of the Spirit to help us find God's guidance, words of knowledge, discernment, things like that. They're all helpful things. But the bottom line is this. Oh yeah, and keep a clear conscience. Keep short accounts with God and with other people. Prepare yourself before ministering. But the bottom line is this. Live in grace. Live in the love of Christ for you. He approves of you. He thinks you're smashing. And go for it. And go for it. And go for it. He says, if you're faithful in small things, you'll be given more. And the more you do it, faith to grow in authority, faith to grow in power, there are different dimensions to this, but nevertheless, it's like a muscle. Use it and it'll grow. Don't use it, the muscle withers. Okay? But have you got the point? We don't pray for people. We pray at the beginning, but then we minister to people. Now let's wait on the Lord and see. Actually, no, please stand for a moment. I want to ask a simple thing, but profoundly important thing. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come to you now and take you to a place more deeply than ever before of just simply knowing who you are in Christ. Okay? Now, you've known this for years, some of us more years than others, but just if you hunger for this, where you know down here in your knower, as the Americans say, you just know that you know. That you are loved by God, approved of by God. That you're in grace for freedom. Christ Jesus set us free. To live in the glorious liberty of the children of God, okay? Ask the Lord to take you into that place. To know who you are. Father, come please. Release your spirit to my brothers and sisters here. And I ask the same again for myself too. That you will take us deeper into yourself. Deeper into knowing more of what is the length and breadth and height and depth of this love of Christ for each one of us that surpasses our head knowledge. Goes way beyond that into the depths of our beings, into our hearts. Holy Spirit, would you do that by that power which is at work within us. That mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, you're able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Do it now, as we ask you, Lord. Grip our hearts with your love. Enable us to grasp how long and wide and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love which surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of yourself.